Craig. We're standing outside and I give him this quick lowdown of my heart and everything that I'm feeling. He said a prayer and I swear that prayer, like everything that he just said was like, wow. And I just started crying. And I'm not talking a couple of tears. I'm ugly crying.
Yeah, it's the God who sees. And in that moment, it was God seeing you.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast. This is Corinne James, your host. Today, our guest is Jen. We have been friends since our kids were in elementary school. She is a brand new Christian, so I'm so excited to have her here and hear her thoughts on Christianity and how she came to know the Lord. But first, we're just going to start off by asking Jen, where you grew up? Do you have any siblings? What was that like? So we can get to know you a little bit more.
I grew up in Southbridge. I was a baby of five. Unfortunately, we had a very abusive alcoholic father, so things were not easy on that end at all. My mom did try to make peace often, but it didn't matter. It was every day. You don't know what you're waking up to or going to be woken up for.
Yeah.
Being the baby, I didn't see or actually realize a lot until I got a little bit older. And as I look back, I think, oh, that's what was going on, or that was the reasoning for this. And
I think a lot of times when we're brought up in a family, we think it's normal because that's all we know, right? So you probably didn't notice anything until you got older, just because a lot of times when you start visiting other people, you realize, oh, wait a minute, my house runs a little bit differently.
Very different. We weren't really allowed to have a lot of friends over because, again, never knew how my dad was going to be. And it was embarrassing. When we did have a friend over, it was always walking on eggshells. Is he going to come home? Is he going to come home drunk? Is he going to start beating? Is he going to start using words? There's a lot in my head that no kid should ever have in their head.
Is your dad still around?
No.
How old were you when he passed and how did he pass?
It was just a few years ago.
Did he pass from alcoholism?
He had dementia.
Okay.
The alcohol, which caused a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. He was diabetic. Drinking leads to a lot of those things.
Were you able to have a different relationship with him when you get older?
No, he was a much better grandfather than he was a father.
So you are married now and you have children. So tell me about that. How'd you meet your husband? How long you've been married?
So we met at Commerce 26 years ago.
Crazy.
I know. We used to go and make out in the file aisles.
Oh my gosh. How old were you? This is too funny.
Right, it was right out of high school.
Like 19, 20?
Yes, I was 18 when I started working there.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny. And he worked there.
He started working there. And we had a friend, Andy, after a couple of years that started working there. And yeah, we were friends at first, play cards at lunch with a group of people. And then it turned into a little bit more. Yeah. And then before you know it, married for 23 years.
Wow, that's great. We're going to hear a little bit more about Andy later because he's a big part of your salvation story. So we're going to put his name on the back burner. You have three children.
I do.
How old?
Michael is 22, Lucas is 19, and Molly is 15.
So you're almost done.
I'm almost done.
That's the way I look at it. Yeah, maybe you're almost done. Might have one hanging around sometimes, right?
Or all three at this rate.
Lord, right? What do you do for a living now?
I ended up working in the emergency department as secretary for a little bit and transferred over to Harrington. COVID came, things were a mess. People didn't want to work. I needed something different.
Must have been tough in a hospital during that time.
It's always tough. Yeah. But I like the chaos and I really, really love the job, but it was a lot of extra hours. Jake and I had always said when we had kids, I was going to work part-time. Part-time was turning into more hours and more hours. That's something we didn't want. So I ended up taking a break for a little while. And my sister, she does shared living for two adult men.
Who I've met.
Who you have met.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I do respite care for them as well. And she needed a little job outside of her busy household. So she started driving a little bus for special needs. So she tried to get me over there. I was like, oh, I don't know. Split schedule every day versus 3 days. Like there was a lot of contemplating. So I took a few months off, stayed home for the holidays, did my decorating, did my fun stuff. And she continued to talk about it. So I'm like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. So I tried it. And now I'm already a year in and I love it.
First of all, I want to say you're great with the assisted living clients. I've seen you at grocery stores with them. I've heard you bring them to church. I mean, that is just such a heart from the Lord to be able to do that kind of stuff. So kudos to you for that. Let's talk a little bit about your crossover into Christianity. I knew you back in elementary school. Do you remember when?
Well, I remember, walking the halls of Mason Road.
Okay.
And then it was from there, Rebecca, I remember her doing the track stuff and I was going with you to some track meets, the local one. So then that carried it to middle school, right?
Yeah. Been a long time.
It's been a long time, but we would go walking in between.
Yep.
And you had your cleaning business at that
time. I did. 17 years in cleaning. Yeah. So did you know I was a Christian back then?
Yes and no. I knew a little bit only because sometimes you would say something, but very, very short.
Yeah.
Or you would post a tiny little blurb on Facebook, but nothing that would make me think that, wow, Corrine's like this full-blown Christian. Never had that thought.
So a little bit in conversations, but not too much.
No.
Then we lost touch. I think your kids went to Bay Path.
They did.
And mine stayed at Shepherd Hill. So we hadn't seen each other for a while. And then I got a text out of nowhere from you, right? It was probably what? 3 months ago, right?
It was July.
It was July.
Yes.
And I got this awesome text from you saying, I want to get together. I was like, yep, we're doing that. Got to know what's happening, but I'm going to make sure we get together. So tell me a little bit about what happened and your salvation story.
Well, before I had texted you, that's when you really started sharing your faith, is when you were writing your book.
Okay.
So then it clicked like, oh, okay. So she's more of a Christian than what I thought. So it all kind of stems back from them. Of course, I always followed you on Facebook and I was proud of you and I would leave you messages. When all this happened, light bulb went off. I need to call her. I need to text her. Like, she's going to be so surprised.
Right. That's right. I did text post a little bit. It's so funny the different perspectives I get, because some people I talk to, they're like, oh my gosh, you post about God all the time. That's, you know, that's who she is. Some that I've known for so long, not so much. It just shows the growth in my life as well as a Christian and the healing that I was doing at that time and processing, walking with the Lord, where maybe I didn't talk too much about it because I was spending a lot of time with God trying to figure out my own hurts,
right,
and moving forward with that. And so the book coming out,
that was huge.
Yeah.
But even when you moved into your new home, I would go over for coffee and then you did your stairs. And again, that was another sign for me, like, oh, well, she doesn't talk about it, but yet that is such a bold move.
Yeah.
To put all of these Christian,
it was,
on
yep,
your
it was
stairs.
In 1 Corinthians, it was love is patience, love is kind. It's funny that you remember that. And the funny thing is that was something that God was teaching me. He was teaching me how to love, because I was in the place where I just got honest with God and said, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to love. And what a huge realization and a scary one. When he showed me that scripture, it was like, I am going to write that on my stairs in calligraphy because I need to be reminded of that, what that looks like and how to walk in that. I think it was a bold move because it needed to be for myself.
So bold for people who didn't know and like, wow, she's really throwing it out there.
Yeah. So that's what made you reach out, the posting and the scriptures and the music and all of that.
And then your book was like the big one. Wow, she did this.
Somebody in one of my other podcasts made a comment that journaling is for your healing, but writing a book is for when you're healed. And just when you're talking about that, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, it was in that place that I was walking in freedom. When my book came out, I was walking in freedom. So it was so much easier for me to stand on my faith and to share my faith more boldly because God had already brought me through so much.
Right.
Even like when I first became a Christian, it's like those insecurities. What are people going to think? Well, how do I say it? What do I do? You know, not walking in that freedom in Christ yet. We're going to talk about that because you're at the beginning.
Very beginning.
You reached out to me in July.
Yep.
Tell us the story of how this all happened and how you came to know the Lord.
Back in Commerce days, we had a friend, Andy, who worked with us. He was part of our card playing crew. All three of us had eventually separated and had different jobs, but we would always see each other, catch up on life. Now, mind you, this goes back before cell phones.
Right. So I know we're showing our age. Before cell phone. Yes,
before
there was. There was life before cell phones.
Mm-hmm. So we would go a few months or so without seeing him. And then we would bump into him, take his phone number. Let's get together. I take that phone number, put it in my purse, and then it's gone. Who knows where that went? And then we would do this again. And we would just repeat that same pattern over and over and over again. Now, years later, we would try to look him up on Facebook. Never found him anywhere. We would look at mutual friends that we had that we used to work together. Could never find him. And we would always hope that we would run into him again.
So he really just started to be put on your heart. I wonder whatever happened to him.
Yeah. And it was probably 2 or 3 days before this all happened that we just had this whole conversation about Andy, like such a good guy. He was just a wholesome, genuine person. We just really, really loved Andy. Now 4th of July comes and Molly wanted to go for breakfast. So we go to some place and they were closed because of the holiday. So we end up at Cracker Barrel. Now, mind you, 2 days prior, we were talking about Andy. So we go give our name. It was kind of busy because they're probably the only place open on right. the holiday. And so we're looking in the gift shop and I hear, Jenny? Jay? I knew that voice and it was Andy. And there he was standing there with his daughter. We both just couldn't believe it. First things first is we whipped out our cell phones and took numbers. I mean, we tried to catch up in all these years within short time frame. And he mentioned that he just bought a new house. So of course we were so excited for him and offered our help with whatever he needed. And he mentioned his church family was doing a lot. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. Like I would love a church family. It was awesome. I was so happy for him.
You mentioned something to me when we talked a little while back about how you would see people and think, oh, I kind of would want that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know what it is. It's not a jealousy or
no.
just something like, wow, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
Something else filling up some space, you know, in a really positive way. Anyway, we continued to chat. He said he was going to be having a housewarming party. Sure enough, a few weeks later, he called and he's having this party at his house. Of course, we went. We walk into the living room. There's this guy and his daughter and they have matching t-shirts on. And it says Living Word. I didn't know what that was, but whatever. Cute. Daughter, dad, matching shirts. Awesome. And he was just very honest and genuine. You know, you talk to someone and it feels like you have known them for years. It was that kind of guy. And he was just asking us, oh, how do you know Andy? You know, everyone was just in and out, in and out. Andy comes around the corner and he says, oh, I see you met my pastor. And now I'm thinking, oh.
Shoot, what did I say?
How many times did I swear? Because that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, because you have a few favorite words.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I'm trying.
I love you so much. I can't stand it.
Honesty, right?
Right.
Anyway, we finish. We eat. We're having a good time. And then before you know it, I hear him say, well, we have to get going. And something was just making me go towards him and ask him to talk. I don't know why. I don't know what. But I was just drawn to ask him to talk to me.
Well, we know now that that's the Holy Spirit.
Now we know.
Now we know yes. what that was. He's so good.
But at that time, I mean, he's standing up, getting ready to leave. He's got his daughter. And I'm like, do you have a minute? And of course, he was like, of course I do. And I'm thinking, like, what am I doing? What am I going to say? Why am I asking this guy to come out and talk to me? I don't even know what I'm doing. We go outside. He asks if there was something specific that I wanted to talk about. And of course I didn't. I'm still regretting asking because I don't even know what I'm going to say. I can't even think, never mind speak. I gave him literally a 30-second of everything that I've been going through and dealing with really heavy the past 2.5 years since my brother had passed. And things have been really difficult.
First of all, your brother that just passed, mm-hmm. he had some problems with alcohol as well. Is that true?
Yes.
He did.
He being the oldest and a stepchild, my father was not a father figure at all.
The hottest probably on him, maybe?
Yes, he was very abusive to him physically, verbally. He got it the worst. And at a very young age, he had enough. He left and he ended up getting caught up, you know, in drugs and alcohol. And he lived a homeless lifestyle for many years.
But you continued to keep in touch with him.
Oh, yeah. That. He stayed at a shelter, Hotel Grace. We would go and cook and serve for them. He had his own family. Besides us, they were such a family to him. He had Pastor Richie there that would always encourage the guys and the ladies that were there. It was a group of people that he had
that he called family.
With. And yeah.
When you met this pastor at Andy's party, this is a couple years after your brother had passed. I think you were going through some issues with your mom at that time as well.
Yes.
So when you saw him, you just all felt moved towards him. Mm-hmm. And then just all of this stuff just came bubbling.
Right. With my my mom. And that's probably the thing that was weighing on me the most. We have another sister who is an alcoholic. I cut ties with her a while ago because it's just not healthy for me. It's very toxic and it's very triggering for me.
Yeah, it's not a safe place.
No, not at all. And I've tried a few times. Us having a drink once a year at Christmas, if you're out with a friend, having a glass of wine, is completely different from having the need to have 4 or 5 drinks by 10 a.m. because you're shaking.
Correct.
My mom, that's all she knew was that lifestyle. She couldn't understand me telling her the difference.
Now, did your mom drink?
No, not at all. Yeah. Purest lady. Mm. Never smoked, never swore, never drank. So as she was begging for relationships, kind of brought up a lot of things that the timing was really bad because we had just lost my brother. And I had diarrhea of the mouth, pretty much.
Everything from the last probably 30, 40, 50 years just came bubbling up.
Everything was surfacing and it didn't stop. It was just coming up. Timing was very, very bad. Everything that I had said about the abuse and about the alcohol and about my brother, and had things had been different, he wouldn't be where he is. Had we had someone that stuck up for us? Oh, had you left him? All of these things, she hung up. And I knew, like, oh, this is bad. And I remember calling my sister, Karen, who's my rock. And I'm crying because I know, like, this is bad. My mom has never hung up on me before. But everything that I said, it felt good. Like, I have never, ever said anything in a negative way because I never wanted to hurt her any more than what she had already been hurt.
Yeah.
So I just kept pushing everything down for her sake. And then it exploded. It really exploded. She disowned me. I tried reaching out to her several times. She wouldn't answer. I would write her a letter. She just would not speak with me. And then finally, it was one day. It would probably had been like 4 or 5 weeks after the fact of me calling every day and crying every day. I called her and she actually answered. And I'm like, don't hang up. And I just said, Mom, I just need to know. I don't understand. I said, you know, you can forgive your husband for all of the abuse that we have seen and gone through. And you can forgive your son from living this homeless lifestyle in the drug lifestyle. And you can forgive your daughter for the alcohol. I said, and I tell you my true feelings that I've pushed down for many, many years. And that's it. You can't forgive me for that. And that was our last conversation. And she said that she never wanted to talk to me or see me again. That had been really weighing on me a lot. She lives in the same town. If I would see her walking, I would just cry. I couldn't even see her without crying. So I had that going on, and the timing of seeing Pastor Craig, all that was just happening.
I know it sounds weird, but it was all in God's timing, bringing him there into your life at that time. And as that was happening, it's almost like you're a little girl again, and all of this stuff is coming up. And yeah, it was bad timing, of course. You are so positive and such a kind person. I know that. This was just weighing on you, but it was things that needed to be worked on. And God can turn all things to good. In that situation, you were probably broken even after getting that weight lifted off of you. And now you have this broken relationship with your mom.
Oh, yeah.
You've always had a relationship with your mom.
Always.
And you always took care of her.
Oh, always.
She was always with you. It was almost like she was your responsibility.
Yes.
It was almost like your codependency towards her.
Yes, that's exactly.
She was like that with your dad. You're like that with her. And now all of a sudden, your feelings come bubbling up. And so you try to put up that boundary wall, and you're not being that codependent. You're saying, this one I can't do. And then everything falls apart.
And that was it. I mean, we would take my mom on vacations with us. And if I was going to the Dollar Tree, I'd go pick her up.
Yeah.
Just because I love spending time with my mom.
Yeah.
So I never in a million years would have thought that she would not be
in your life.
Yeah, for sure.
You were speaking to the pastor about this stuff.
Yes.
Is this when it all came up?
Yes.
You miss your mom. Oh my gosh, I know I shouldn't have said all this the way I did.
Right.
I do feel better getting off my chest, but I love my mom. And now I'm in this place that I just don't like.
Right.
And how do I restore this? Because she won't let me.
And had I known that it was going to lead to that, I would have just continued to not say anything. Apparently it needed to come out because it just surfaced and it kept going and going and going.
And the only thing we can do now is pray for healing. I can speak from experience. Healing through the Lord does come in the right timing, whether the healing is in yourself or the healing is the relationship, but God will bring it about in his timing.
We got married at St. Joseph's. Our kids made their first communions at St. Joseph's, and we continue to go. We went every Sunday, but I never felt it was right. And then all those years passed with all the priests, the children. Jake was totally turned off, and that was the end of it. And I still wanted to go, but I wouldn't go by myself. He stopped, I stopped. My sister Karen continued, you know, to stick up for me when she was with my mom, still talk about my kids, stick up for me because I didn't do anything wrong except the timing. But then my mom wrote her off as well. She was now going through everything that I was going through, and she started going back to St. Joe's. And I could see the change in her, and I can see that she was healing, and she would say, why don't you come? And I was just always very hesitant because I left for a reason. I didn't see how it was going to be any different after all those years. Anyway, I was having a bad day. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go. So I woke up in the morning and I had plans to go. I texted her, meet me in the parking lot. It was a big to-do. And I walked in there, and all of those feelings that I had when I had left all came back. The smell of like the real flowers, all of the gowns, the altar, the Bibles, the pews, just all of it. I sat there very uncomfortable. No one says hello. Like, it's just not warm and welcoming. I think I was only there for maybe 7 minutes. The first opportunity that they stood up, I was out of there. And I left and I didn't give it a second thought. So it wasn't until I see Pastor Craig, we're standing outside, and I give him this quick lowdown of my heart and everything that I'm feeling. He said a prayer, and I swear that prayer, I'm like, gosh, is he psychic? Like, everything that he just said was like, wow. And I just started crying. And I'm not talking a couple tears. I'm ugly crying.
Yeah.
He had given me his card and invited me to go to church the next morning. But of course, I wouldn't go by myself. I asked Andy if he was going to church the next morning, and Andy picked me up.
There's a name of God. It's the God who sees. And in that moment, it was God seeing you. So the pastor was praying for you, but it was the Holy Spirit revealing the truth of who you are and what you were going through.
When he said the prayer with my brother portion of it, he mentioned addiction. And again, I gave him literally 20, 30 seconds of my life in a nutshell. And the words that he was saying, I was in awe.
It's just God.
I went to church the next day. Andy picked me up. I invited my family to come with me.
This is going to be funny. Not funny, right? Oh, boy.
Right?
So, because all along, you've shared this with me, you kind of would not talk very well about the church to your family. You going home and asking them to go to church, this was like a huge turnaround.
It was huge.
Because you were not even in relationship with the church. Like, oh, no, we're not doing that.
No, I'm all set. And I never gave it a second thought after trying again with my sister. And I would just tell her, good for you. And she would always say, sometimes I get this overwhelming experience when I go. She's like, and I cry. I walked out after 7 minutes. I don't even know if it was 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I just wasn't feeling it.
So when you went home to tell your family,
I didn't even go home yet. I was still in the outside, and he had left with his daughter, and my sister was in Maine, and I'm texting her. Oh my goodness, that overwhelming feeling that you have. I'm like, I just had that. And I'm standing here in the grass in the front lawn by myself, crying ugly cries.
God is so good. And when you got home, you invited your family.
Yeah.
So tell me.
So I went home. Molly was with us, and she was kind of just like on the stairs, like, why is she crying? What is this man doing? And where's dad?
Yeah. What's happening?
Yeah. What's going on? I got home and asked, guys, I'm going to go to church tomorrow if anybody wants to come. And it was a hard no. I don't even think I finished the word church. And they're like, I'm good. Suddenly everyone needed something upstairs. it was one of those. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go. Because of that response, I probably would have woken up the next morning and said, maybe it was just a thing. No one's on my side. No one's doing this with me. But I didn't. I woke up and I was so excited, and I couldn't wait to go. I was pacing at my window waiting for Andy to pull up. I could not wait to go. And I would never go somewhere alone like that, especially going into this place that is so foreign to me. And the fact that I hadn't seen Andy in so long, and now going to church with him? We're not at Commerce playing cards anymore. Like, this is totally different.
Right.
So he picked me up. I wasn't really dressed. He kind of laughed. You're a little overdressed. And I'm thinking, really? Like, I wouldn't even walk into the Catholic Church without feeling that I need to dress up. There's just this aura about it. You feel like you're being looked at. It's just different. So anyway, we go in. The first thing that got me was there was no pews. There was no altar. There was no real flowers. People were drinking coffee. And I was like, if this is what I'm going to do, this is the place that I'm going to do it at, because that just shocked me. When you walked in that door, Pastor Craig's wife, Amanda, met me at the door. She gives the best hugs. Right from that moment, it was just a feeling of belonging. I've never had that.
Wow, what a great word.
And it was, this is awesome. You know, you step in 2 feet and there's greeters, welcome. Talk about feeling this is a family, not church. Just go do your prayers and leave.
Right.
This is more than that.
This is people I can do life with. This is people who care about me.
That's exactly the feeling that I had. So I sat with Andy and his mom and his daughter. Everybody there was just so welcoming. And then they have the fellowship downstairs, which again, never had that. So everyone's downstairs and there's snacks and everyone's talking. Everybody was coming up to me, welcoming me. And then his wife had said, this is your journey. You do as much as you want or as little as you want. Asked if I was on Facebook and they have this Bible study group. And I was like, ooh, that's a lot.
Back up a little bit. I just walked through the doors.
Right. That's a lot because it's intimidating. I mean, this is my first day back in church in years, but I'm like, you know what? At the same time, sure. Sign me up. Put me on your list. And if something strikes me, then who knows? I literally cried the entire time. I just cried. We left. And I go home. Michael, my oldest, Michael has no filter. If you don't like what he says, then that's on you. But he did ask. He was like, how was church, Mom? Kind of sarcastically. Well, I start crying.
Wow.
Then he sees my reaction and he kind of steps back a little. And he was like, well, you know, Mom, I know a little bit about your past and how you grew up. He's like, so, you know, if this is what you need, then good, good for you. He's like, just don't start decorating the house and all these crosses. And so typical of him, right? And then here comes Lucas. Oh, did you go to church, Mom? Like, I did. I'm like, you should come. And waterworks again. And the tears just wouldn't stop. He kind of turned it around like, oh, okay, well, I guess you really liked it. They all had this moment of sarcasm. And then as soon as they saw my reaction, it was, wow, this means something.
It was a moment of reality.
Yes. And it totally turned them from their sarcastic responses to caring. Wow. Okay. Mom needs this. So then Molly had the same reaction. And then Jake comes home from fishing. He's like, how'd it go? Well, guess what I did? I cried again. And then with my reaction from him seeing me, he said, I'll go with you next week. And
wow,
I was just, did I hear you correctly? And then I start crying again.
Just overwhelmed on how God put this all together.
And then I thought, okay, well, he's saying this now, but we still have
six more days.
Yeah. 7 days away. You know, he's going to wake up and be like, yeah, I'm going to go fishing.
Right, right, you know? Right, yep.
But he did. He came with me. He was kind of quiet. And I was thinking, yeah, I don't think he's ready. I don't think this is going the way that I wanted it to go for him. But, you know, we'll see. And he got home and he didn't really say a whole lot. But what he did say, it wasn't negative or it wasn't, yeah, it's not for me. And he didn't bail after 7 minutes like I did. It was way better than I thought. Right. And then the following week, they were talking about this fellowship for men. And I kind of nudged him. I'm like, you should go. It's so casual there, non-judgy. I actually took my phone out and I took a screenshot of the posting of the fellowship. I would never do that at the church I was at. I wouldn't even suck on a cough drop, never mind bring a coffee into church. So anyway, I take this photo, I show it to him, and he's like, I don't know. And then the following week, he goes back to church with me. I had the two guys with me, my sister's two guys, and I thought he was behind me, but he wasn't. So I continued walking with the guys outside, and he comes out. His eyes were a little bloodshot. And I'm like, you good? And he's like, yeah. He says, I just had a private conversation with Pastor Craig, and I'm going to come every week, and I'm going to go to the men's fellowship.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, what? Who are you?
God, it's really,
it was just
doing a work.
Yeah. Like one thing after the next, after the next.
It was like the floodgates just opened and God was rolling all out. That's it. Yep.
So we have been faithfully going now. He's been coming since my second week there, and we've been going every Sunday. He is involved and I am involved. He does these men things and I do the women things, and it's so great.
I am just ecstatic because when you had reached out to me, I was like, okay, God is doing something. And then we scooched in a walk. You just told me this whole story. I just was overwhelmed with just what God was doing in your life, in your husband's life.
Yeah.
And it was the right time, the right place. God just pulled it all together. And it makes you realize just how important you are. God to just orchestrate all of that and in the right timing. You're thinking about Andy. All of a sudden you see him. He mentions church. All of a sudden, a couple of weeks later, you go to his open house. You're just talking to some guy. Right. You have no idea who this guy is. Oh my gosh, he's a pastor. What did I say? You feeling that nudge. He can't leave. I need to talk to him.
Yes. I have never experienced that.
Just that Holy Spirit nudging you. Nope, yeah. You need to go. And you were like, okay, I don't know why I'm going.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm going to even say to this man, but please don't leave. Please don't leave yet. I don't know why. I need to talk to you, but I don't even know what I'm supposed to
say.
That's
exactly what it was. Yeah.
And then he just prayed for you. And then here you are. Salvation.
Yes.
Just laid out right there and going to church and feeling comfortable. Some people have this issue with like, oh, you know, churches are so concerned about seeker friendly and blah, blah, blah. Guess what? That's how I got saved in a church that was not judgmental, who knew that I smoked cigarettes and that I had a past, but they loved on me.
Right.
That's it. Guess what? God dealt with all of that stuff in the right timing. It's just so God to set this course before you and bring people into your life where you feel safe. It's just such a beautiful thing.
And that goes to like the Bible study thing now. When she ever mentioned that at first, I mean, the intimidating part of it was like, whoa, I don't even know the people in the Bible. I don't even know places. I know nothing. I need to go back to like preschool to start learning all these things because it's a lot. You know, we did 12 years of CCD. I don't know a thing.
Well, there's a difference in religion and learning about it and then a personal relationship. And what happened with you is you have a personal relationship with the Lord. I mean, that whole nudging you to go talk to the pastor, going to church, waking up excited to go. I mean, that's a relationship with the Lord. That's the beginning of a relationship with the Lord. The Lord nudging you, speaking to you. You're really not quite sure, but you know that you need to do it. All of that is the Holy Spirit being in relationship with his daughter.
And even while we're there, I don't even look at my watch. I'm so happy. I'm singing and learning all these Christian songs. But the family there is truly amazing.
I need to go visit these people and give them a hug.
Yes, you do.
I do. Tell me a little bit more of going into this Bible study. Just tell me a little bit more about what that journey looked like for you. You're a little bit nervous to go to this Bible study and this women's thing, but you've been there for a few months. And what has that been like?
Well, it's funny. Natalie was one of the first ones when I went downstairs. She gave me a hug and of course I'm crying. And she kept saying that this is the Lord talking to you. And you know, this is the Lord. Of course, I'm not there yet.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. But I'm just crying. I have no idea why.
So we've established a friendship really quickly. She hosts the Bible study. So she started telling me at that time on my very first day that she has it at her house. She lives right in Charlton, that I should come. And it's very relaxed. It's very low key. I started texting her maybe the night or two nights prior to the first Bible study. And she's like, you really should come. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, no, sometimes I can be inappropriate. And she was like, oh, I'm always inappropriate. Like I have no filter. And I'm thinking, oh, are we on the same page? And the whole texting thing back and forth. And then I said something, I can't even remember what it was. I think it was something like, I swear. And then all those dot, dot, dots of texting stopped. And I was like, oh, Jake, I blew it. I totally blew it. And then she was just busy and got back to me. And she was like, no, really, we're alike.
You're trying to prepare her. Well, okay, I don't know if you know me because I'm not perfect. And sometimes I might say things. Well, no, I don't think you get it. Well, actually, I swear.
Yes.
Dot, 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 dot. No response, right?
And it was the longest, like several minutes ever.
That's it. They kicked me out.
I'm done. Like, I didn't even start yet and I'm gone. So I get there. It was very casual. They've got their slippers on. They brought a snack. It was in her beautiful home, nice and cozy. Now it's time. And I think, oh boy, here we go. And I've got all these thoughts going through my head. Like, I don't have a Bible because I've never owned a Bible. I've never looked at a Bible. I don't even know what they're going to talk about. But it was so not what I thought. I thought it was going to be, we're really digging deep into this Bible and we're talking everything in the Bible. And it wasn't. It started with, you know, does anyone have anything that they want to share? One friend right off the bat had said that she couldn't sleep the night before. Her brother had some stuff going on. She was thinking about it a lot. She was just not sleeping at all. Somebody had read a scripture about giving it to God, and another friend had brought a birthday present, and she just kind of stopped and she was like, I need to open this gift for you. And it was a little wooden sign and it said, go to sleep, give it to God, or something like that. Like, it was just so fitting. The thing that Janine was talking about, I could 110% relate to. So I knew right away, like, oh, we're going to be friends. We have a lot in common in just this short time. And I just knew that we're going to be friends. It was like that through every person. Every time somebody spoke, I'm like, this is good. So it wasn't intimidating like I thought it was going to be.
It was real life.
It was real life. It was real stories. It was real support. Just exactly what I needed.
With the biblical basis.
Yes.
It was a safe place to share your struggles. The Holy Spirit and the scriptures there to encourage and to love you and to uplift you and to know that you're not alone. You can trust God in all this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was amazing to me that it worked out that way. So we go every Friday night. And if there's a Friday night they don't have it, we try to do something else. I love
it. Did you ever think that you'd be so excited to go to a Bible study on Friday night?
Never. Never. Or just like when we were walking that day. I mean, I think we were walking. Had you known we'd be walking like 5 miles while I talked to you, you would have wore your sneakers and not those boots.
I know. Yeah, I'll meet you for a walk. Actually, no, I had flip-flops on that first day we met. Yeah. It was flip-flops. It was the second time I had my boots on.
And even that, the second time, you had texted me later, like, can you believe 15, 17 years later, who would have ever thought on our walks we'd be talking about God, just smiling and loving it. As I'm
so
talking
good.
To you, I have a smile on my face.
Right.
It's just crazy.
It's a new life in Christ.
It is.
It is a new life in Christ.
It is.
Really can't explain it to people. I mean, you can, but it's so different when you begin that relationship with God, or really when he comes and finds you. Because the scripture always talks about he left the 99 to go find the one.
Right.
Did Don't you know that scripture?
No, I'm just like, okay.
I'm going to look it up and I'm going to give it to you. But literally, I'm going to look that up and give it to you and just listen to that story. And that's exactly what it is. God finds that one person and knows that it's the right time, knew that you were going to need him in that moment, brought it all together just for you.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, he got his work cut out.
And then your husband,
yeah.
Just so good. It really is all in God's timing.
It is. And I learned about that God's providence.
Mm.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Well, it was just the timing of Andy.
Yes.
And the timing of all of the things that I had already spoken about.
Yeah.
That's that.
Amen. How has your life changed since you've come to know the Lord in this beginning journey? And are there differences that you see now that you didn't see before?
Oh, a lot. Oh my gosh. Well, just the fact of the excitement of going to church and having this whole new family.
Yes.
Has been such a blessing. The way that sometimes I would answer things quickly, and now I'll kind of take a breath first and make sure that I'm answering it the way that I really want to answer it, especially with some of the things with the kids. Try not to be negative, or not that I'm a negative person.
No, you're not.
I'm always trying to pass it on to Jake. He's been dealing with some health issues a little over a year now. He had run into a friend that he hadn't seen probably in 2 or 3 years. His friend came over to him, and the first thing he said was, oh, I haven't been feeling good. Instantly, he got into this negative space. And I'm like, but other than that, he's great. His kids are good. And I just kind of like turned it and got him out of that funk. And he realized, yeah, that wasn't good.
Learning to walk in faith is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like, I might be going through something right now,
but
that I'm just going through something right now.
Right.
God is walking me through it. He's carrying me through it. We're going to walk this together. Total flip. Do you find that there are challenges you have in your life now being a Christian that you never noticed that you had had before? Do you sense God guiding you through them?
I try to read something biblical every night, whether it's a devotional or something. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You're saying, well, my new challenge is growing in the Lord.
It is. I remember on one of the walks with you, when you were doing your book, God told me to write this book. And I would say, well, what does that mean? What
yes.
do you mean he was talking to you? Like, no one's talking to me.
I remember you going, well, what does that mean?
Yes.
What do you mean he was talking to you? Explain that. I don't know what that means.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you get it now?
I do get it now. Yes, I
do. It's kind of hard to explain, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's almost like that little intuition that you're feeling. But things like that, everything is just different in a good way.
What do you feel like you have been learning while you're walking through the new life in Christ? What do you feel like God's been teaching you?
Slow down, care more for others, which I mean, I do anyway.
You do.
Sometimes just a different level. I've added on some respite care.
Well, I think the slowing down is really good. When you slow down, you see people because you're not really rushing through life anymore. Give God a chance to speak to you and see through his eyes.
Yeah. I don't know. Just taking that breath, you know?
I do. What would you share that could maybe encourage others who are just in their beginning stages of their new life in Christ, or maybe haven't even made the decision yet?
Yeah. So I was having a conversation today actually about the decision. I certainly didn't make the decision to be a Christ follower. That was given to me. I don't really think I can answer anything more than that, honestly.
It was like the Holy Spirit just led it all. But you know what? I do have to say something to you. You were obedient and you listened. You felt like you needed to talk to that person. You went and did it. Some people might not.
Oh, I was reluctant. Trust me. But I did.
Tell me about the conversation you were having.
So we were reading this question together and that part stuck out. What is this? Maybe haven't made that decision. It's kind of a flip here. Because had I known years ago that you were a big Christian, I would have probably asked more or been intrigued and maybe would have done more back then. But then again, maybe I wouldn't have. Maybe I would have looked at it as she's pushy because I wasn't ready. But now that I'm here, I wish people would have spoken about it more.
Yes. And that is a struggle for Christians. How much do you say?
But why?
Well, that's a good question.
I tell you what, I am so happy to say to everybody, oh my gosh, you're never going to guess what happened to me. Yeah. And I tell them, whether they think I'm crazy or not, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you my whole story.
Right.
And whatever they do with it, they do with it. And I tell them, if you ever want to come with me, I'm more than happy to pick you up because I love it that much. And these people, these family that have now come into our lives, they make it easy. Wendy is such a great listener and I can pour my heart out. There's no judging. It's just understanding, prayers. You're going to do this. You're going to get through this. And it's just that with everybody there, every single person that I have met.
And that's interesting because when I first got saved, my husband, who I was dating at the time, I talked about God all the time with him, but I never told my mother about it. I asked her to go to church with me once and she said no. And I remember crying because I was so afraid to go by myself. I remember meeting my husband, who was my boyfriend at that time, and I talked about God all the time. So I find that interesting.
Been my best friend from Oklahoma. I mean, we've been friends since 9 years old and we talk all the time and we talk for hours and we talk about everything. Life, kids, school, work, I mean, everything. And I called her with excitement to tell her. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you. We go to church every Sunday. I'm like, what? What do you mean? And she's in this big Christian church, of course, in Oklahoma. It's hundreds of people. And yeah, she goes every single Sunday. And I had no idea.
How'd that make you feel?
I was so surprised. She got me this beautiful Bible. She came to visit me in October. Our conversations, of course, are our usual.
It's like, what's God saying to you? It's like, what's God doing in your life?
Whole new level. And who knew after all these years?
So you're looking back now. The Lord found you. Let's be clear about that. So now you're looking back and you're saying, hey, wait a minute. I've had people who've known the Lord.
For a lot of years.
For a lot of years.
Yes.
And never said anything to me.
Never.
So what can you tell to all of us Christians out there? You tell us what you needed and what we should have done.
Someone to share a story, a testimony, something that would intrigue somebody.
So if you're talking about something in your life, somebody to share maybe what they've gone through and how God has brought them through it.
Yes. Such as your book, somebody local, somebody that a friend of a friend or somebody that you can relate to on a personal level. I started going to the worship. It's every third Thursday of the month. I went by myself because Jake couldn't come. I didn't even have any expectations. I had no idea what it was going to be. And I went and I couldn't wait to go. And it was so beautiful. And there was not a lot of people. And I think that's the other part that I really like about this church is it's probably only 50 people. Very small. To me, that's more family-like than walking into this big lots of people, and that's not for me.
Gotcha.
The worship was very informal. If someone had something to pray about, they would just pray, and everyone stood up and held hands. It was just really nice. And of course, I cried the whole time. That's just all I do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally just the healing process. It's just the Lord. Crying is just cleansing. It really is.
I know, but it's a bit much. It's every single time.
Okay, Lord, let's get this over with, okay? Stop the crying.
August. But no, it's just been awesome. Jake had gone, I believe it was at the pastor's house. Him and this other guy, Russ, started talking over the food table. They were just having their own conversation. So Jake knew him for 3 hours. Nothing huge, but he just felt a connection of some sort with this guy. The very next week, Russ had had a heart attack. Jake had that, oh my gosh, moment. And at that moment is the first time that he started to pray.
Wow.
He didn't pray before that. And he didn't know how to pray. And it wasn't until then we had gone out to lunch with the pastor and his wife, Amanda. We told them that. And Jake just, I don't know what it was. He's like, but ever since that day, I pray now every day.
Do you feel like the Lord is using you to bring hope to others?
I would hope so.
I mean, you talked about your husband and how you're kind of bringing him alongside. Really, God is. Do you feel like you're sharing your faith with other people? Do you want to tell everybody listening some stories about what you're doing that we could have done better?
Yes. I was speaking to Janine today. She always makes me feel so much better. better because I'm so new at all of this. And she, I think 4 years as a Christian now.
Okay.
But I feel like I'm on day one.
Yeah.
The things that she says, sometimes I have deer in headlights. Like I have no idea what you're talking about. And not just her, everybody.
Right.
Again, these women are just so amazing. We had Bible study this past Friday and I was really at a loss. Holly and Michelle, they're just amazing, simply amazing. They're slowing things down. They started singing these songs. I'm like, I need that. I need to start from way down here and work my way up. So they all said, oh, we're going to do this. And I was like, no, I don't want you guys to stop doing your Bible study to catch me up because I'm way behind. You guys continue doing what you're doing, but they're all just, no, we're going to do this. Kelly brought me this book. It's almost like recipe instruction book.
Really?
Who everybody is, where they're coming from, time frames of all of these events.
You're talking about in the Bible?
Yeah.
Breaking it down.
Yes.
It's a book about it.
Yes.
Do you know what that book is?
I don't.
Okay. You know what? We're going to put it in the podcast notes because I think this will help.
It's so good.
Yeah. So they have gotten you a book or are you all going through this book?
No, she got this book for Jake and I so that we can sit down and do this together because he knows just as much as I do.
So they're really mentoring you.
Oh my gosh. Huge.
This is literally, you became a Christian.
Yes.
They're coming alongside of you and they are mentoring you.
And that's why I keep bringing them up because if it weren't for them, I don't know how much I'd be jumping into it.
Absolutely. So if you felt like you walked into a bigger church and not really connected, it would be different.
Oh, definitely different.
So really God brought you to the right church, the right people.
Oh, hands
down. At the
down.
Right time.
Yes.
For what you need. I think that that's maybe what we as Christians need to take a little bit more serious is the mentoring.
And just the fellowship. Mm-hmm. So this past weekend we hosted a clothing exchange. So there's this Bible study group chat on Facebook and I was cleaning my closet. And
just
I
of had you guys bins. Or a different one?
No, it was the girls from church. And then I invited a few of my friends. It was amazing. Everybody contributed and everybody left with bags. And even a couple of the guys came just to hang out with Jake while we all did this.
Wow.
And there was food and it was 4 hours and it didn't feel like church event.
Right.
It was just family gathering.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
How powerful is that? Now you invited, you said some friends who were non-Christians.
Right.
And how did that go?
Good. I mean, my sister was there and
right.
She has met some of them already. My friend Deb had come. Deb, I met like 13 years ago. I met her at the salon that I worked at. She's always been a very huge part of my life. And anytime that there's a problem, I call her, I cry to her. And then since my mom disowned me, Deb has really fulfilled those shoes as my mom.
What is she thinking about all of this?
Oh, she thinks it's wonderful. She's happy for me. She doesn't go to church. I wouldn't be surprised if one day she came with me.
Amen. I love that. That's so good. You're being mentored.
Mm-hmm.
People who have known you a long time and you're open to sharing with them the transformation in your life.
Yes. And again, today I reached out to my friend Christine. Life gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, weeks pass, months pass. I was thinking about her. So I reached out to her. That one text went into 36 later.
Yeah.
She asked me about Friday night dinner. And I said, oh, well, I have Bible study on Friday nights. Her response was, what? Am I being hacked? Is this Jen? It comes to a surprise.
It does. It's amazing. I am just so blessed that you took the time to be here with me and with everybody here to tell your story. And I think there's a lot of contemplating that us as Christians need to do. Don't get me wrong. I do believe there is the right timing. And I believe that God pulled that all together for you. But it is a little bit of a conviction to say, okay, what can I personally and we as a community do better?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a scary place. It's a place where you can be yourself and allow the Lord to do whatever it is he's going to do in your life and have people come alongside of you to do that. I guess I would say not be ashamed of the gospel. I would not think that I was ashamed at all of the gospel. But I also take a step back and realize there is a journey in each of us and where we're at. Also, God has called us to step out of that comfort zone and be more aware of what God wants us to do in that moment.
Right. But I think with all of the fellowship portion of that, when you're asking what what you can do.
Yeah.
I think it's more outside stuff too.
What do you mean, explain?
Not just meeting in a church environment, not just having a Bible study.
Right.
But Michelle and I have gone out for breakfast, and then another Michelle will get together and we did the setting up for this event that we're having. But it's not just a church event where we get together now.
Okay.
As far as what other Christians can do, mm-hmm. you don't have to have it just church based.
Gotcha.
It doesn't have to be strictly religion-based.
When I became saved, it was, I don't want to say it consumed my life, but it did, but in a good way. I dove in, went to church every Sunday, went to every Bible study that they offered. That's what I needed. I needed to know who this God was. I did talk about it, but to certain people. Through the book, I've been able to speak a little bit more boldly about it. It's the freedom that I've found in the process of the years of healing that Christ brought me through. Does that make sense?
It does.
Who's ever listening to this podcast, if you know somebody who's a new Christian, or if there's somebody that you've been praying for, you can just come in agreement with the Lord. Or you're just stepping out in faith. I am so glad you came to allow the Lord's conviction on my heart, hopefully to some of the listeners, to see where is it that we can be stepping out a little bit more in faith. I've said this before, it is such a time as this. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. So there's people out there who are ready to hear about the gospel, but where are the workers who are telling them about the gospel? And like you said, you can pull them into a church. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I got saved, that's what it was. We always invited people to Bible studies, invited people to the church. That was the 90s. And that's what we did. When I reached out to that girl who took me to church all those years later, the first thing her mother says, come to a Bible study with me. And that's kind of what we did. Getting that change in thought process from the 90s.
That's huge.
We need a big shift in our thinking.
Yeah.
Because I just went to a meeting at church, and this is exactly what one of the new pastors was talking about, doing everyday life in the world and bringing Christ with you.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
So it's a whole new mindset where we as Christians need to be headed in this world.
And just like when Jake went to the first men's fellowship, he was a little nervous and he doesn't know the Bible. He doesn't even have a Bible. At least I'm familiar with it a little bit.
Yeah. In your 3 months.
Yes, right. When I say little, it's like really little. It wasn't like that. They were playing cornhole and they had a barbecue. He met Ross. It was just a cookout with extra friends.
Yeah. All from the church?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a safe place that you can invite a friend to go with you as well. Mm-hmm. Jenna, I'm so excited that you came here with me today. I love you.
Nervous. I love you.
You are just the best. And I'm so excited about your journey with Christ. And I'm so happy about these women that God put in your life and them mentoring you and loving on you and making you feel like you're at home. God is just so good bringing that all together for you.
Isn't that the truth?
It is. If you don't mind, I'll end us in prayer. Yep. Father God, I just want to thank you for what you're doing in Jen's life. I just want to thank you for bringing her to the place, Lord, that she feels safe and you are mentoring her and bringing people around her. I just want to thank you for putting this whole salvation story together for her, Lord. And I just look forward to the years to come as she continues to grow and bring people to you, that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Father God, I want to lift up all of our listeners, myself included. Lord, open our eyes. Teach us to reach out better. Teach us to bring Christ into the world better. Lord, help us to seek you every day for those moments in our everyday life that we can share the gospel, putting our faith in Christ for whatever situation we're going through. Father God, I pray that you'd convict us and change us and show us who've been Christian for years, we still need to learn to do it better. Father God, I'd lift each of us up to you. I want to praise you and thank you for what you're doing in our lives today and what you're going to continue to do, in Jesus' name. I want to thank our listeners for joining the conversation today, praying the Lord spoke to each and every one of you and believing we can move forward together and shine as bright lights in our communities. For more information about today's guest, please be sure to go to the episode show notes. If you found this podcast engaging and encouraging, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morning Star Bright Lights community grow together as we share our experiences and insights for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you or someone you know is shining the light of Christ and feels led to share what the Lord is doing and has done in and through your life, we would love to hear about it.
please go to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com and leave us a message. Visit our Morningstar bookstore locations and discover our wide selection of Christian books, Bibles, and gifts. Also visit our website at morningstarbookstore.com for more selections and direct-to-home shipping. On behalf of the entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thanks for joining the conversation.